السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, we had stopped at the point where Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه had laid siege to this place called Pelusium of Farama. So the Romans, they were obviously now besieged by the Muslims. Muslims laid a tight siege to the city. The Romans also, they remained unwavering. So this siege continued for a good few months. Meanwhile, small Roman units would sneak out and come and engage the Muslim army. So some skirmishes used to take place. Some fighting is to take place. Now, to be able to keep the morale of your army for so long, so many months, now you just, you know, surrounded this place and now you're waiting. It's not an easy thing. It's like when people sit for itikaf, first 2 days, 3 days, going strong. After that now to be able to keep that momentum going, it's not easy. You have to keep connected with Allah Ta'ala, keep reminding yourself, the test comes that time. And then especially towards the tail end, but now you can start smelling home. So that time now to still remain with this department. And the biggest test come the 29th night, the moon is not set. Then everybody is in another mood. The moon don't get sighted, everybody goes in another mood. So that night is like a very chill night, and next day from before Zohar, everybody's packing up and curtains are getting put away and everything. So now you know definitely, sometimes car boots also are packed already. Khidmat brothers pack the car boots and everything, keep them ready. Azan goes, you don't have to wait for no ijazat, nothing. Over now, you're going. Now imagine months to keep the morale of the army. What iman they must have had and what leadership they must have had. So Amr radiallahu anhu, he kept on delivering bayans, giving speeches. Once he addressed them, he said, O people of Islam, O people of iman, O carriers of the Quran, O sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be steadfast like men. Keep your feet firm. Do not separate your ranks. So you see, one is your istiqamat. The other is, in English they say, familiarity breeds contempt. When you got nothing to do now, and you so many people, now each person start getting on the other person's nerves. So that's where your akhlaq comes in, your islah comes in. I'm the worst. I'm able to tolerate everybody else. Because I'm nothing. I must give preference to everybody else. Any situation, give the others preference. And I mustn't get offended. Somebody made one remark, somebody said something. You mustn't offend me. I mustn't have a chicken heart now. Right? Because those are the things that then cause the division. That's what will cause the problems after that. Once division comes, then strength is gone. Allah Ta'ala's nusrat goes away, strength goes away. So, he's telling them, keep firm, don't separate your ranks. And shoot your arrows, defend yourselves with your shields. And maintain silence. Maintain silence. Except when remembering Allah Ta'ala. And don't do anything unless I give you instruction. What level of obedience? So this in the Khanqah, this is not a Khanqah. In the Khanqahs generally, proper Khanqahs, so this maintaining silence was a very big thing. Nowadays, I haven't experienced it to that level. But ان جلال آباد حضرت جیون مسیح اللہ رحمت اللہ علیہ خان کا there was no talking. You couldn't talk to the next person at all. He made salam and that's it. Nothing else. One incident always comes to my mind. You may have heard it before. When I was staying in the Khanka, so I was under the supervision of Dr. Ismail Mangera Sahib from Joburg. What's it? Brixton. Where Dr. Sahib stays? Brixton. Brixton. So, one day, the doodwala, the one who delivers the milk, so he left the milk that's supposed to come to our room, he left it by another South African brothers. They were brothers also. Two brothers, Burbulia brothers. They used to live in Indonesia those days, Bob's Shoes. And then they're still staying there. But they were also there. So their khanka room was opposite our khanka room. He left, there was a courtyard in the center. It was, the masjid was here. Either side was the khanka rooms. It was double story. Then on this side was a wuzu khana. And in the back here was some toilets. When you came out of the khanka, then on the left hand side was the boarding, the general boarding, the students boarding. And further to that was the South African boarding. The Majlis Khana was away. You have to walk and go to the Majlis Khana for Majlis. So, Dr. Sam, he told me to go and fetch the milk. So I went there to fetch the milk. So the Bulbulia brothers who were there. So now, me salam with them. Waalaikum salam. What's your name, bhai? A small conversation took place. 2 minutes. Where you from? Who's your father? You know? Because I was about 14, 15 years of age. Next thing, Dr. Sam was there. He just told me, I sent you to fetch the milk. In other words, what are you talking for? You're only supposed to confess the milk and go. Sent you to, that's all he told me. So I sent you to confess the milk. So I just took the milk. I went away. I don't know what happened after that, what he told the Bulbulia brothers, but I just took the milk and I went away. And after that, he came back to the room, not a word. He didn't say anything. But the next day in the majlis, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali spoke about this, about talking. So not to say you're not allowed to talk. Talking is fine, it's jais, it's permissible. Just like how to walk is permissible. But when you got drips on you and you're in the ICU, then can you walk? For that time, you have to just stay in the bed. You in traction. You just have to sit in the bed. So in the khanka, you in traction. There was no talking. You don't talk. Finish. Engage in no conversation with anyone. Fair. But just, so here Amar Rinnan is telling them that maintain silence. Don't talk. Besides for Zikrullah, don't talk. One day, one Roman unit came out to fight the Muslims. But the Muslims overpowered them and they were now forced to flee. This Rome. Now they're running back to the fort. However, the Muslims overtook them. The Muslims overtook them to the fort. So they managed to get to the gate before the Romans could enter. The first Muslim to enter the fort was a person by the name of Asmiqah. So this infiltration led the way to victory. Because now they infiltrated the fort, now the Muslim army could come in. Right? However, one thing that worked in favor of the Muslims was the Copts, Coptics, no? Who were in within the fort, they assisted the Muslims. And they used to come and meet the Muslims. Quietly they used to come, they used to meet the Muslims. And they used to inform the Muslims of the weaknesses in the city's defenses. Where's the soft spots? If you're going to attack, how you're going to attack, what you must do. They gave this information to the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala makes the means, you know. So now when they took over the fort, Umar radiallahu anhu, he delivered the khutbah, right? So he said that, O men, all praise is to Allah Ta'ala. Praise is to Allah Ta'ala. The one who made the Muslim army prevail, and the one who granted victory. It's not us. Allah Ta'ala did it. Allah is great. In other words, he said, Allahu Akbar. He covered the rear with Islam and made it our retreat. However, beware, don't think that we have achieved all that we desired. Don't be betrayed by this victory. Don't think now our job is done. The way ahead is hard and difficult. The mission assigned to us by Amirul Mu'mineen is not an easy one. You must be patient and obedient to your leaders. The inhabitants will soon know that we are the soldiers of Islam. So we don't spread corruption. And we're not going to make zulm on anybody. We're not going to, you know, usurp anybody. We should reform and improve the land and be the best examples of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, let us be that example. See, the whole thing was establishing deen. Deen must be established. By way of example, these people must see. They don't have a window to Islam. Now that we have conquered, they must see what is the akhlaq of a Muslim. What is the honesty of a Muslim, integrity of a Muslim. Automatically they would also become attracted to Islam. Amr radiallahu anhu was now confident that the city is no longer capable of providing refuge to an enemy. You see, whenever they took over a city, they would break down the towers. But obviously now, how many cities are you going to inhabit? You got a small army, you're moving with a small army. They break down the garrisons, break down the towers, take away the weaponry, right? So that this city now cannot give refuge to an army. It won't be able to be a fort. In order to make it a fort now, you have to start building again. So those things they would break up, right? And then they got a whole area to cover, to conquer. Right? However, during this siege and this battle, many sincere Muslims also were made shaheed. So Amr radiallahu anhu, he grieved over this, and he also feared that if this campaign carries on like this, our already small army will become even smaller. So he was still in this thought, process, when the members of Arab tribes of Rashida and Khum, they used to reside in the mountains there. They came and joined him. Allah Ta'ala gave him reinforcements. They came and they joined his army. Right? So Amr radiallahu anhu continued, and he didn't meet much resistance now going forward from here. He reached the castles of Qasasin, then he turned south until he reached Tamlan Valley. He went further south until he reached a place by the name of Bilbis. Not Iblis, Bilbis. So, in this whole suffer very light resistance one, two places, but everything went smoothly. So near this Bilbase, so they say that this Bilbase is an ancient city on the Nile Delta, along the banks of the Nile. So the Romans came out with a huge force over here. They came out with a force to stop the Muslim advance, because the Muslims are now making their way towards the castle of Babylon, which is present-day Cairo. Right? They're making their way there. So these people came out to stop them. So Amr radiallahu anhu addressed them. He said, look, don't be hasty. Listen to our message first. Right? So told them, in order to deliver the message, there is a person amongst you who is known as the father of Mary or the father of Maryam. Right? So tell him to come and see us. And until he doesn't come, there should be no fighting between us. So two ambassadors came to the Muslims from the Roman side. They sent two ambassadors. Amr radiallahu anh called them to Islam. They never accept this. So he offered them jizya. He said, either you accept Islam, if you don't want to accept Islam, then pay the jizya, live under Muslim rule. He also told them that, see, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us something about Egypt. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one hadith sharif, that you will soon conquer Egypt, a land which is known as the land of Qirat. Now, one is Qirat, it is a land of Qirat also, Shaykh Basid and all others. But here the Qirat was referring to the currency of that land. Right? So, it's known as that. When you conquer it, treat its people well. Why? Because you have a responsibility of family ties with them. Right? So, what this was referring to, one is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? So there, Hajira, one was Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then Hajira. So Hajira was from this end of the world. And from Hajira was Ismail alayhi salam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from that line, right? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage. So this was one tie, such a long, old tie. Then also, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent letters to various kings, he also sent a letter to Makokis, who was the king of Egypt. And he received Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter with a lot of respect. He didn't accept Islam, but he sent a lot of gifts for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And part of the gifts was two slave girls. One was Maria Kiptia. See, she was a Coptic. Maria Kiptia. And the other one, I forget her name. So the second one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her to somebody else. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept Maria Kiptia radiallahu anha for himself. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a son from Maria Kiptia radiallahu anha. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to this ties that we have with them. We have a family tie with them. So these two ambassadors, when they heard this, they were taken aback. And they said that, you know, only prophets will maintain such distant family ties. This can only be prophets who will do this. So then he said that, look, let us be in peace until we return to you. In other words, don't attack us. Let's not fight until we come back to you with our jawab, with our answer. So Amr radiallahu anhu said to him that, look, people like me do not betray. We Muslims, we don't betray. So I give you my word. I give you a respite of 3 days. You know what you marvel at? The Muslims always spoke from a position of authority. Who's giving the options here? They're not sitting there by the table and listening to what the UN got to say and what the Federal is just vetoing, and then they go sit alone and have some tea and wipe their tears. Maybe it's all crocodile line eye tears just for the world to see. And then they say, no, our red lines and our this. And they give flowery speeches. They put that Jordanian fellow, because he knows English, make him talk a little bit. And he wants speech there. No, this is being done to the Muslims, and this is not right, and that is not wrong. But all his weaponry is getting rusty there and not using it. The Muslims, they never took that kind of stance. They spoke from a position of authority. Although they in the territory, they're not in their own territory. These people are the stronghold there. But they giving them the options. Right now we're giving you 3 days. We won't attack you for 3 days. We're giving you 3 days respite. You go and make your mashwaras. Come back to us with the jawab. So these people say, no, give us a little bit more time. So already give you 4 days. Give you one more day. Give you 4 days. So they spoke like this from a position of authority, because they knew they got the backing of Allah Ta'ala. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. They knew they had that. So these ambassadors, they went to Makokis. He was the chief of the Coptics now, right? And then there was Aretion, who was now the Roman governor. See, both these people were in Egypt, the Romans and the Coptics. So Aretion, when he heard this, he flatly refused. He said, no ways. He's not accepting anything. And he made a night attack against the Muslim army. They were not supposed to fight, right? But he came out at night. He's a Ghaddar. You see, he came out and he attacked the Muslim army. But Allah Ta'ala made it that they got a good hiding. These Romans got a good hiding. And they then fled to Alexandria. They left Egypt and they fled to Alexandria. There is a very noteworthy incident that is mentioned. When the Muslims, we spoke of, you know, when they came to this Bilbis, when it was conquered, they found the daughter of Makokis here, right? Princess Armanosa, her name was, Princess Armanosa. So, she was very beloved to her father, this princess, but she was being forced to marry a person by the name of Constantine, who was the son of Caesar. Right? Now, the Romans were ruling there. The Copts are like, they're there, but they don't have the upper hand. So this Constantine wants to marry this Princess Armanosa, and she don't like him. Right? So they are keeping her against her will, right, and forcing her that she must agree to marry this Constantine, right. So she had taken refuge in the city along with her maid, right, that maid, they say her name was Barbara. She, the two of them, they were taking refuge there. So the Muslim army, when they conquered this place, so obviously now all the women, they are now prisoners of war, they are slaves to the Muslim army. Umar radiallahu anh, he gathered the senior people from the, you know, the Mujahideen, and he recited to them this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Al Jaza'ul Ihsani illa al Ihsan. That is there any reward for good other than good? And then he explained to them, he says, see, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter came to Makokis, then he treated it with respect. And he sent gifts for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why don't we return the favor? Why don't we return the favor? Let us return his daughter to him and her female attendants, this Barbara and whoever else now. She was a princess, so you must know now she got her whole entourage, right? So why don't we return all these people to him? And whatever wealth also was taken from them, return all that. So all the leaders of the Mujahideen, the council, they agreed. We do this. Hence, Amr radiallahu anh sent her off to her father honorably with all her belongings, including all the slaves and whatever. So when they were going, now this Barbara, who was like her lady-in-waiting now, you know, her main khadima, this Barbara is telling her that, you know what, we are surrounded by Arabs from all sides. The Levant is taken, now they're coming to Egypt, Iraq, that side, they have already taken. So we are just getting surrounded by Arabs from all sides. So this princess, she replied, my life and my honor is safer in an Arab tent than in my father's palace. So if I'm in an Arab tent, nobody will touch me. I'm safer there. But in my own father's palace, I don't have that safety. My father couldn't even stand up for me against this Constantine. Right? They just took me away by force. And my father is like a puppet. He had to just keep quiet. So I'm safer in an Arab tent than in my father's palace. What regard they had for the Muslims. So when she arrived at the palace, safe, her father's palace, father was very, very pleased to have her back, and he was very impressed with the Muslim behavior. Abdul Hakim narrated that after the conquest of Bilbis, Amr radiallahu anh marched with his army for a month until they reached a place by the name of Ummedanin, also known as Maxus. So this is a village which is north of Babylon. It is situated also on the River Nile. So the Muslims fought a major battle around the city. Amr radiallahu anh actually had to request Umar radiallahu anh for reinforcements. Umar radiallahu anh sent a 4,000 man brigade, a mujahideen, 4,000 mujahideen he sent. And it is said that each 1,000 was commanded by a man who is worth 1,000 more. 1,000 more in terms of metal and courage. Okay? So, who were these men? One was Hazrat Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anh. Then Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anh. Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anh. And Muslima bin Mukhallad. But some historians say the fourth person was Kharija bin Huzafan. So there was difference of opinion regarding the fourth one. And Umar radiallahu anh sent a message to Amr anon. He said, now know that you have an army of 12,000. 4,000 plus that 111 is equal to 1,000 is 8,000 and you're 4,000. An army of 12,000, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, an army of 12,000 cannot be defeated due to less numbers. So now you can't be defeated because of less numbers. You got your army of 12,000 now. The Romans and their allies from the Coptics came out to face the Muslims, and a gory battle ensued between the two. So here, in this battle, Amr radiallahu anh employed the strategy of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh. What Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh did in Muta, he divided the army into three groups. One is facing the enemy, right? One is switching flanks, and one every now and again is running in like reinforcements came, right? And then they switch flanks. So the enemy is thinking a fresh soldiers came. New soldiers came, right? So he adopted a similar strategy. He divided the army into three. He placed one group on a hill, right, to ambush the enemy. One group on the bank of the Nile River. And with the third group, he confronted this army of Coptics and Romans. When the battle heated up, how it is mentioned in the Hadith? No. Hamiy al-Watis. Hamiy al-Watis. When the tawa is hot, you make the roti, the tawa have to get hot. I mean, it's a saying, you know. The battle is now in heat now, you know, it's full swing now. When the battle heated up, so the group on the hill, they mounted a surprise attack. The Roman army and Coptic, now they're concentrating their forces there. These people came and attacked them all of a sudden. So when this attack took place, these people were caught off guard and they started fleeing towards the town, now Umm-Madinin. But the third part of the army was on the banks. So now they were sandwiched between these three. One side is the river, that side is the main army. On either side, the army that was on the hill and the army that was on the banks. Right? So they got nowhere to go. The enemy was routed. Some of them managed to find safety in the castle of Babylon. But this enemy was defeated. Stop here. And continue with this mission. Okay.